section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to the 100th episode of Off the Mark. We are still your only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew. I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. So, it is confirmed now, Evan Bourne is not in rehab. Lillian Garcia's boyfriend was wrong.
Mm-hmm. You know, they say they tried to make him go to rehab, but Evan said no.
No. So, and the other also kind of big thing that happened with the WWE, they signed Ring of Honor star Chris Hero. He has been signed now, finally. So he is going to be in the developmental in Florida, FCW, for the WWE. Is this a good move for his career right now, Aaron?
It probably is. You know, Ring of Honor right now is kind of a niche promotion. And he did really great there. Chris Hero is a talent, and he is a star, just in the same way Tyler Black was, or Seth Rollins. And it's one of those things where, you know, at some point in time, you can't always stay in the indies forever. You make a move. And it's not him selling out. It's not him buying in. It's him making a move, you know. A lot of people change jobs, and this is just happens to be another thing. The only thing I would question right now is Ring of Honor the WWE farm system?
Actually, I would almost have to say yes, because there's a lot of guys who've come from Ring of Honor, and they've done something elsewhere. I just wouldn't be surprised if the WWE started, picking them out like ECW back in the day. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean, and Ring of Honor is a really good promotion. I've always enjoyed watching their tapes. There are so many of them, such good wrestling matches. I mean, if you're hardcore into wrestling, if you're listening to podcasts, you probably are. You need to check out some Ring of Honor tapes. They're so good. Something that actually I think is kind of big is that the Miz is in hot water right now for basically botching a spot with R-Truth. R-Truth actually landed super hard on mm-hmm. the outside of the ring. I mean, what did you think of this turn of events?
You know, I watched it and I saw what had happened and I go, Miz, how could you mess up that spot? You were supposed to catch him. And there are times where people will do an act outside of the ring, you know, like they'll go and fly outside the ring, but they'll miss, and that was part of the act. This was one where you know he was supposed to catch him. And I was just thinking, wow, dude, you are going to get hell backstage. And he did. The reports that we have read say that The Miz is actually in really hot water, not only with the WWE, you know, with management there, but with Triple H, who, as we all know, Triple H is kind of the heir apparent to Vince McMahon. So that's kind of a big deal. Do you see The Miz falling to the mid-card now, Andy?
No, because I think you kind of have to go with momentum. But as we've seen in the past with Alex Riley, you only can go so far. And if you tick one person off backstage, you get buried. Mm-hmm. I don't see The Miz getting buried because he's still kind of a big deal with being a reality TV star. And he's also done a bunch of he actually just did an episode of Psych. And that's going to be on the new season that's coming up by the end of the month. I don't think you can bury him right now. Maybe after WrestleMania, you can. You can have him lose a bunch of matches to prove your point. You can have mm-hmm. people come out and tease him about being orange. I see that happening before they bury him because they need some top heels still. And they just need top stars right now, and they're not building certain people like they should.
You know, and I think you made a good point there, which is that they need these top stars, these top heels. And to kind of piggyback off your point, I think what will probably end up happening is towards WrestleMania, you will have these people get big wins over him, and that will help bury him. But at the same time, it'll actually serve a purpose, and it'll help elevate certain people to the main event status. Now, maybe I shouldn't say main event, but like upper mid card status, you know, maybe mid card even. You know, like I would see if Evan Bourne was back, I could actually see Evan Bourne getting a win over The Miz because of what had happened.
Or Tyler Rex. Tyler Rex could get a huge win off him right now. That would be awesome.
So let's move on to Raw, Andy. I got to ask you, do you think that Triple H is stealing CM Punk's thunder with his current storyline with Johnny Ace?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely stealing it. He doesn't need to be. The whole thing with CM Punk is better than with Triple H. I don't care about Triple H being out there. I care what CM Punk is saying. And the thing also that kind of made me mad is that they're because that's the top thing that's going on right now. Of course they had to bring up Triple H Taker 3, which ticks me off. Because you basically is everything that CM Punk has been starting to build up with this feud, he's basically stepped in and said, yeah, no one cares about what you are. It's all about me and Taker. It's all about me, Taker. Come on. And the fact that, you know, what happened on Tuesday, I mean, they announced, you know, if he's going to be the GM still, which I thought was kind of, you know, weird, so but whatever.
I would like to say this much. You know, Triple H gets a bad rap because he married the boss's daughter, and so people, you know, always say, oh, it's Triple H, Triple H, Triple H. I think that this is a pretty good spot right here for you to say, oh, Triple H, Triple H. And the reason I say that is this. CM Punk had a great storyline with John Cena, and then Triple H gets involved. He got involved in that storyline. He threw himself in there, right? And then they had their little storyline going on, right? Well, after that, you know, he goes away for a while. CM Punk gets into a good storyline with Johnny Ace. And I'm sure that they probably had some of this stuff planned out. But at the end of the day, you have this really volatile storyline going on. It ended big at Royal Rumble. And then all of a sudden, Punk is completely out of the spotlight and enters Triple H. And this is the stepping stone to Triple H and Undertaker. And so now this is the focal point of Raw. Not the WWE champion, but Triple H and Undertaker. So he's trying his hardest to stay in the spotlight, and he's trying to steal everyone else's thunder. And that's, I hate to say it, but even if this isn't true, it makes it look that way. And perception can become reality.
And I think you're right on this. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me why they would have to interject with CM Punk's storyline. You don't need to do that. You know, I guess that's probably the best way to introduce Taker, you know, Taker Triple H. I can see that. Now, if Triple H is out of the picture now, technically, it's going to be back to Johnny Ace and CM Punk. If Triple H starts putting his butt back in there, that just is proving that he has to steal someone else's spotlight in order to make this big. Because truthfully, I don't care about the Taker Triple H because I just know that Trips is going to win. I just have a feeling that Triple H will win that match, and there's no point to it. So he'll go 19-0.
I can see Triple. The saddest thing of all is I can see him winning. I didn't see him winning last time. I was like, you know, he's gonna lose. It's just this is gonna be the big match. But he was saying, "I'm the only person that the Undertaker has never walked from the ring from," and he's trying to make this big thing because. I will say this much about Triple H. He wants to cement his legacy into the WWE. He did something very nice, which was that he hasn't had any more title reigns, which is good because he basically was saying, you know, Ric Flair is the man because he has a very big relationship with him and he doesn't want to, you know, step on anyone's toes in that regard. I can understand that and appreciate it, but he wants to set his mark in a different way. He really wants to set his mark in the way that's like, oh, well, I'd be Undertaker. No, you don't do that. Jericho being the first ever Undisputed Champion was a big deal that it was him and not The Rock or Stone Cold because the fact that he did it, he still says to this day, 10 years after the fact, Triple H beats Undertaker. He gets to say it for, what, another couple years? He's not going to wrestle for that long. He's going to do part-time wrestling, if that. So you don't have him win. If you had Sheamus in the ring, if you had Wade Barrett in the ring – I could possibly see it then. I do not see Triple H winning you know, logically, but he probably will because it's Triple H.
Yeah, and that's going to be the crappy part about it. I just hope they don't go through with it. I just hope it doesn't happen. Taker's been gone for almost a year, and all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to show up now. Well, okay, you shaved your head already. How are they going to put a match on with you with long hair? It's going to be pretty impossible. Unless he wears like a baseball cap or puts a mask on. I mean, that's how you could do it.
Who knows?
But the other big thing also, Chris Jericho spoke. So he spoke. Yes, he actually said something and didn't go, yeah, come on, baby. He actually spoke, which I was very happy with. And actually,
he accused everyone of being wannabes.
Yep. And I thought it was probably one of the greatest segments in Raw in a long time. And people still cheered and they didn't care. They're like, yeah, you know,
I love that. And then Punk comes out and doesn't say a word. And then Jericho calls him a clone, you know, again. And I got to tell you, I really think the chemistry between these two people is going to get great over the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks. You know, it's going to be just amazing. I cannot, assuming WWE does not mess this up, fingers crossed, this is going to be some of the best television that we have seen since Punk did his promo. And before that, honestly, maybe 2 years, 3 years prior to that, like, this is going to be one of the best feuds by far.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I could see it, but right now, it's not really like, all right, this is going to be great. Because it's not really doing anything yet. I think if CM Punk retains at Elimination Chamber, I think I'll start to dig it even more. But right now, it's kind of like, all right, I see where they're going with this. This is a decent storyline so far. Mm-hmm. I'm just not into it right now. I mean, I thought I'd be more into it, but I'm kind of just like, yeah, they're going to wrestle. That's about it.
Well, I'll say this much. I am into it, and I think that it really culminated at the end of the night when they had the big Elimination Chamber participant, the six-pack challenge, and whoever scored the first pinfall would be the last person out of the chambers. And Punk went, did the go-to-sleep. I think it was on Dolph Ziggler. And then Jericho pulled him off and then went and stole the pin from him.
Yeah, which was hilarious. So
cool, because, you know, you have that dynamic. You got that dynamic there. But on top of it, we got one more week now until Elimination Chamber. And so you're going to have, you know, some tension there. They won't give away a match. You know, it'll probably be a 3-on-3 type match, more than likely. And Jericho's going to get cheered, even though he's supposed to be a heel. And it's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm looking more forward to Elimination Chamber than I was to the Royal Rumble.
Wow, that's saying something. that is saying something, dude. No, I think Elimination Chamber will be a decent pay-per-view. I mean, the concept is always nice, and I think it's a good pay-per-view right before WrestleMania, because now you're going to have basically 6 or 7 weeks before WrestleMania to get some storylines going. Hopefully they can announce more than just one match so far, you know,
yeah.
Cena versus Rock. By the way, speaking of The Rock, while I'm thinking about it, Journey 2, I have heard nothing but bad reviews about his film so far. It's horrible, people are saying. So I hope everyone goes out and watches it and wastes their, you know, $12 to go watch a movie.
Moving on to SmackDown, Andy.
We need to talk about everyone who's actually in the Elimination Chamber, Aaron. So can you name all six participants off?
So we have Daniel Bryan, of course, the World Heavyweight Champion, Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett, Big Show, and Great Khali. Now, Andy, I got to ask you, are you excited for the SmackDown Elimination Chamber?
Yes. I mean, I can see where it may end up being a little bit better because of the competitors in there. I would have almost rather seen like a Kofi Kingston comeback, though, you know, have him in one of those matches, because especially SmackDown one, because he could do some crazy stuff.
Well, he is in the Raw one, but I do agree that on SmackDown, he could definitely benefit there, because Great Khali and Big Show. Really? You're going to have two guys who are like 7 feet tall in the Elimination Chamber? You know, you have one guy in there, you know, like that's the thing. You do one guy who's big. But do you think that the SmackDown one is going to outshine Raw's?
No, because you have the Great Khali in there. you know, Big Show's going to have to eliminate him or vice versa. It's kind of stupid the way it's done. I mean, in all seriousness, they shouldn't have done how the whole thing with Great Khali and Big Show being in there, because that's just going to set up a feud. That's all, at least to me, that's all they're trying to do. But I could care less about that feud.
Mm-hmm.
So why do it? That's what I don't understand. I think it would be better if they just got rid of Great Khali and put someone else in there. Yeah, and by the way, yeah. I did forget about Kofi being the Raw one. But it's, yeah,
I agree. I think that there's somebody else you could probably put in that spot. I mean, they've been really pushing Jinder Mahal. You could put Ted DiBiase in there if you really want to.
Yeah, because you know he's not going to win, but you know that he'll do something kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be the first one out, of course.
Well, yeah, of course.
Just don't expect that. So
yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I completely agree with you. I actually think that the SmackDown one is going to suck. I think that it's going to be very lackluster, and you're going to have Randy Orton or, you know, Cody Rhodes. No, you won't have Cody. Randy Orton or, like, Wade Barrett win the title is what I think is going to happen. That's what I kind of see. But, you know, I mean, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see.
No, I actually think that Wade Barrett will do something cheap to Randy Orton so they have a match at WrestleMania. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it could. I think they've had matches, though. They've already had matches between the two. That's not a pay-per-view seller, you know, to have them wrestle again.
I don't know. You never know. I mean, they've done crazier stuff, but I see Daniel Bryan keeping the title. I just don't see him losing it. I don't see any signs of it right now.
We got another week and a half, and then we'll find out.
Yeah, so, but speaking of Daniel Bryan, he actually beats Randy Orton in a by DQ, of course, because he can't win normally right now, after Show throws him back in the ring.
Yeah. So Show laid his hands on him, and so that was a disqualification. Mm-hmm. And then Big Show and Randy Orton have some words there. Do you think that this hurts Daniel Bryan, and do you think it makes his championship look tainted in a way?
I thought at first, but now I don't, because, you know, the plan was that he was going to win at Elimination Chamber originally, and then things change with Henry becoming hurt multiple times. I actually think so far it has been a bust, because they're not really utilizing him properly. But I see him keeping the belt for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if he keeps it till Survivor Series. That just would not surprise me. I know it seems like, wow, that's a long time for a title reign. But if they play their cards right and they do this properly, they can make it, because he keeps coming out saying, I am the world heavyweight champion, makes a big stink about it. I see him continuing to do that over and over again. And I think that
I doubt that. I see him losing the title at WrestleMania.
Okay.
I think that if he holds it to WrestleMania, he will lose it to Sheamus.
No. Sheamus will not win the title. Not again. I just don't see him doing it.
Well, you heard it here first. And in 10 more episodes, I'm going to play that back for you, Andy.
That's fine. You can make a drop board, and you'll have to also say, yes, I am right, as in me being right, not you. So anyways, let's move on to the longest reigning sponsor that we've had on Off the Mark, and they are HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, and you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo out to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Impact Wrestling! So, Christopher Daniels gets the win over AJ Styles. Why on free TV?
Well, they've already had a pay-per-view match, you know, and I think that this was kind of a nice one because Kaz helped Christopher Daniels win, and that's kind of the way that you want to get this match, get, you know, Kaz and AJ to have some heat is through Daniels. I think that the storyline is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to the pay-per-view match between AJ and Kaz, and looking forward to see what Daniels does, you know, to interfere with it.
So I got
to
ask, so Kaz is still heel now, right? He hasn't turned back to face yet.
No, he's kind of a tweener. I don't know if they even know what's going on, to be honest. You know, but they could use – they could take a lot out of Austin Aries' playbook. Because Austin Aries, I got to tell you, he gets mad props because he's actually beloved. In the same way that Scott Steiner, for whatever reason, people cheer for him even when he's a heel. They go, let's go, Steiner. And then Steiner gets mad and he like curses him out and they still cheer him even though he's supposed to be a heel. What Austin Aries did last week in particular, the crowd started cheering for him. You know, they're like just going, yeah, Austin Aries. So he goes and gets out of the ring and says that he's not going to wrestle. He says, no, you know what? If you're going to cheer for me, no, I'm not going to wrestle then. Waits for them to boo him, and then he goes back into the ring.
What a great heel, by the way. I'm really surprised that they did not put him on the new Tough Enough. I'm very surprised. Because, look at the heat that he's already put out. I mean, he could have been in the main roster and just been taking it. Well, I guess Impact, you can do that. I don't know about Raw, but whatever.
Well, the big thing here is this is something for other heels to learn from him. That, you know, if someone is cheering you and they're like, because he's oozing charisma. He really is. And I've said it before and I still maintain it that I think that he is going to be a really big in TNA. I'm not saying World Heavyweight Champion, but I think that he will be big over there. And seeing what he does in the ring and seeing what he does on the mic, it's great. Like, I'm sure WWE is like, man, we should probably look at stealing him. We should.
And he would be a funny one if they actually stole him. But I wouldn't be surprised if he does. I mean, but yeah, great heel. I'm very happy for what he's doing. I mean, it's been great. I mean, it's been very entertaining. You know, that's what sports entertainment is. So anyway, so Sting and Storm beat Bully and Road in a tag match. Was this anything to write home about, Aaron?
Sting's in the ring, you know, and you know, seeing what they did over in the UK, like last week and this week, I gotta say it, the production value and seeing like how grand it was over there, I gotta tell you, I actually was more excited to watch Impact these past 2 weeks than I had been in a while. And I mean, that says something about the production value and about the size of the arena and the size of the crowd. And I hate to say it, but when you're in Orlando and you're in a very, very tiny crowd, you know, it's not going to be nearly as exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the Super Bowl that happened on Sunday. It's so big. But, you know, for players, because they're not usually around that many people, because think of all the people outside and, you know, they're wrestling in a nice place, by the way. I was actually impressed with Impact. It was a very, very good show. The last few episodes have been really good, especially over in India. Great job, by the way, for those.
They were over in India?
I'm sorry. I thought I was like, oh, yeah, they're India. No, they're actually in the UK. My bad.
Yes. Andy, let's move on to our weekly topic. And we didn't want to do this at the beginning because, you know, it's more our own service. You know, it's us kissing each other's butts. But basically, we're going to talk about our favorite moments over the past 100 episodes. So I kind of want to talk a quick little history lesson about Off the Mark. Andy and I obviously have been wrestling fans for a very long time, and we would call each other and talk wrestling. You know, just be like, oh, did you see Raw this week? Oh, what do you think of this? Oh, it's so stupid, blah, blah, blah. And we just have a conversation about it. And I remember I listened to a book by Gary Vaynerchuk called Crush It. And, you know, he was saying, you know, you should do what you love. And I had, you know, suggested to you, maybe we should just do a wrestling podcast. You know, I mean, we could just sit there and talk about it. And I'm pretty sure you were pretty excited about that idea.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Crush It, by the way, I still haven't finished reading it, or I'm sorry, listening to it. Eventually I will. But yeah, it was one of those things, you approached me about it, and I was like, well, we already have a wrestling podcast, technically. It deals with wrestling and pop culture, and you're like, no, we're not talking about VB, dude. We're talking about, well, let's do one straight wrestling, nothing but wrestling, and we tried to come up with different names. And the one that stuck was Off the Mark. I still like it because, ironically, I hear Off the Mark in sports all the time. Whenever I watch the Hawk game, the Chicago Blackhawks play, I always hear, oh, that was just off the mark. And I was like, yep. And then on the Super Bowl Sunday, someone, I can't remember who it was, but someone said, oh, that was thrown just a little bit off the mark. I wish I could just get all those drops every time they said it, but they say it so often, we can't do it.
Yeah. We kind of went with the podcast, and you know, it was pretty fun. It's really crazy to think that we've done 100 episodes now. We've only missed 1 week so far, which was unfortunate that we missed it. It was fairly early on, but since that, we have not missed a week except between Christmas and New Year's. We take a week off. We play a special, which we did the Ultimate Warrior special, this previous one. And before that, we talked about Ready to Rumble, which were, you know, quite a bit of fun to do. But Andy, what were some of your favorite moments? What have you enjoyed the most about doing the show?
I don't know. I guess it's one of those things that we've been very loyal about it. We keep doing it every week. And I guess to me, it's almost like when we first started, I think it was last February we started, or 2 years ago, February.
It was last February. So this is basically like a 2 year anniversary show.
Yeah. So basically it's almost a 2 year anniversary. And I just look back at like everything that's happened. I mean, look, like, you know, my daughter was only 5 months old at that time that we started doing the show. So it's really weird. Now she's 2 years old now. So it's really weird knowing that her entire time that she's been growing up that, you know, daddy's been doing the show. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that there are some weeks, dude, that like I was like, I don't want to do the show. But then I put it out and then I'm like, I see what I did wrong here. I'm going to fix it next week. And slowly but surely, it just, you know, there's little tweaks every week that happen. And I don't know. It's one of those things like, my wife's like, you talk way too much to your brother. I'm like, yeah, I know. But like, we're doing this and we enjoy doing it. And, you know, we don't have like thousands upon thousands of listeners, and that's fine. We don't mind that. But we have just a small crowd and it's just fun. And I know that people will be like, hey, I listened to your show. Like, a friend of the show, Dave, he was like, hey, I listened to the show and I didn't know about this, there's this. And I was like, yeah. And I talked to him about it. And it was funny because he said it's almost like I'm like you're doing a show in front of me. I'm like, no, this is just how passionate we are about wrestling.
Well, and you know, we would talk about this stuff anyway, which is I think one of the reasons that we really wanted to do it. And I definitely echo your thoughts. There are definitely weeks that I know myself, you know, this is a hobby, you know, so we both work full time, we have other things on our minds. We have stresses that we have to deal with. And so when we do this, there are times where it's hard to do. But I know for you and for me, you know, like last year during WrestleMania, during that time, we were excited, mm-hmm. you know, about doing the podcast, even though WrestleMania really wasn't that good last year. We enjoyed doing it, you know, talking about the CM Punk promo, you know, like just really exciting times. And I really like the analysis that we do. I really like what we bring to the table. And I just really enjoy doing it. It's fun, you know. It's our way of talking about wrestling to each other, but we do it in a more controlled environment than just talking on the phone.
Yeah, that's the nice part. And like, it's also nice to have like guests. We've had Doug Hahn on a couple times, and he went to the Chicago pay-per-view, and he was on the show. The one, of course, with CM Punk, and that stuff was really good. I still remember. I mean, I re-listened to a couple of them. Like, you could hear how excited we were about it, and like, where are they going to go with it from now? And mm-hmm. you know, then they really don't do much, which is the sad and messed up part. But I guess like my thing is just when we bring someone on, like I love the specials we do. I wish I'd love to do more. I guess like also like the WrestleMania stuff where we have like, you know, we do our regular show. And then we have the WrestleMania preview. We do the WrestleMania preview, do the regular show, and then we, you know, right after WrestleMania, we record and I put it out as soon as possible for some people, you know, who either watched it or didn't watch. And, you know, I also see some bigger things coming for us, and I'm looking forward to see where the future's going to be with the show, because I think we're going to be able to be on a bigger stage soon, hopefully.
Yeah, I really enjoy doing the specials. I think those are a lot of fun to do because I actually enjoy listening to them, and it's not because I'm narcissistic, but because, you know, listening to the Ready to Rumble one, it's, you know, like if you're at work and you're doing some, you know, kind of mindless tasks, you throw that on in the background and you're like, oh yeah, like, man, that's such a good movie. You know what? I'm going to go home and watch it after listening to this. Or, you know, you're listening to the Ultimate Warrior special and you're like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, I guess he was kind of a jerk, or, you know, I disagree. I don't think that he will be remembered kindly, or no, he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. And I really enjoy that. And I do want to do more of those. I think that you and I both feel that way. You know, do more than just one a year. You know, do a couple, maybe two, three, whatever.
Yeah, whatever the hot thing is right now. I mean, the thing with the Ultimate Warrior that was not really hot, but we did it, and we thought it was kind of like, you know, the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior was pretty funny. His shoot interview was hilarious, and it's just so bad. And he's so crazy. He thinks that, you know, made up all the stuff about Hogan, and
yeah, it's just. And I gotta say too, I really enjoy the weekly topics, and you know, some of them we only spent a little bit of time on, but you know, there are some that really could be their own full show. They really could, because, you know, talking about how many belts are in the WWE, how many pay-per-views there are, you know, doing top fives and top tens.
The WWE Network.
The WWE Network. You know, things like that. A ton of fun. I really enjoy doing them. And, yeah, a lot of it is complaining or whining, like, oh, they have too many pay-per-views. But it's fun. You know, it's fun to talk about it and, you know, kind of get a, you know, another opinion, whether it is agreeing or whether it's, you know, like, I agree with you a little bit, but here's what I don't agree with. You know, I enjoy doing those, and I really hope that, you know, everyone else enjoys the weekly topics as well.
Yes, I do enjoy the weekly topics. We've had a lot of them that are really good that, you know, we even talked about doing a best of with just the weekly topics, which could be done. It would take a while, but it could always be done. It would be a long, long show, probably a 3-hour show, but
yeah,
it's just one of those things I enjoy doing with you. And you know, we hit 100. I mean, my goal was to basically hit 50, and if we made 50, it would be great. And 50 came and gone, 75 was, you know, came and was gone. Now we're at 100, and it's kind of like, wow, we've done 100 episodes or 100, you know, basically 100 weeks we've done this, plus the specials. And you're just like, wow. You know,
I mean, it's 2 years worth of podcasting. It really is.
And it's enjoyment. And actually now, you know, going to the gym and stuff, it's actually interesting to hear yourself talk while you're working out, which is kind of weird, but it's also kind of fun and interesting. So we're at 100. I would love, now that we've hit 100, I'd love to see 1,000. If we hit 1,000, wow. That would take a long time.
I don't know if we'll be around that long, but
well, it would be another, oh, geez, it'd be 18 years. Is that right?
So here's to another 100 more, Andy.
Yes. Let's just focus on getting to 200.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.